heads and pray tonight. Father God, thank you so much for these kids. Thank you so much that we get this opportunity to get to know you more and to get to study your word, God. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon these kids and that you would speak to their spirit, Lord, that you would be able to help them understand the words that are being that they're reading and that they'd be able to feel you in a tangible way today, God. In your precious and holy name, I pray all these things. Amen. So we're going to be doing something a little bit different today. So instead of having a small group discussion afterwards, we're actually just going to have a small group discussion here. So what I want you guys to do, find your leaders and find a part of the sanctuary and cluster up with them there. Oh, yeah, come on up here. No, I'm just kidding. You got another one right there. Right there. Try and get into a circle, guys. Try and get into a circle so that you guys can talk together. Everybody cozy? All getting together. Okay, awesome. All right, let's just dive right into this then. So the scripture that I am taking this teaching from comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Chris, could you just go to the next slide there for me, please? So this is in page 716 in your Bible. I've got a different version of the Bible that I'm reading from, so it'll look or sound a little bit different than what you guys got, but nevertheless, the words are the same, or saying the same message. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so before I get into the talk, I just want you guys as a group, the groups that you're sitting in, talk about this question. How would you define each component of spirit, soul, and body that Paul states in 1 Thessalonians 5:23? It's okay if you don't know the answers, just what do you think Paul is talking about in that scripture? So just take about, you know, a couple minutes or so just to talk amongst your group then. Okay. So what are some of the answers that you guys came up with? I just want to hear where everybody's kind of at. So let's start with the girls back there. Hi. What do you guys think? Just give me one of the components. What do you think your body is then? Yeah. Good. Let's go to this middle group here. What do you think your soul is then? Yeah, you guys. That's pretty good. That's pretty that's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. is that your answer? Your internal part? Okay. Unfortunately, it isn't the bottom of your shoe. I'll tell you that right now. okay, let's go over here. So, kind of the more complex question: what do you think your spirit is then? Absolutely. Okay, well, let's just dive right into this, guys. So God's word clearly teaches us that we are three-part beings, and we get this from 1 Thessalonians 5:23 here. But the funny thing is that very few of us actually practice a functional understanding of the three in our everyday lives. Most of us actually believe that we're only made up of the body and soul, and we confuse our souls and the spirit as being the same thing. So let me break down the three for you as simply as I can. So just like what the girl said back there, our body is our outermost part. It's the physical part that you can see in the mirror. For example, I'm talking to every single one of you face-to-face right now, and you are seeing my body, and I'm seeing each and every one of your bodies. Our soul, like Derek said, is our mental and emotional parts. It includes our mind, our will. Emotion, it is in the bottom of your feet, sorry. It includes our mind, will, emotions, and our consciousness. So it's mainly your thoughts, and another way to call it is often your personality, right? So people say, you have a great personality. They're actually referring to your soul in that sense. you can actually feel both your body and your soul. For example, if I were to slap one of you across the face, you would be able to physically feel it in your body, and more than likely, it would hurt. At least I hope it would hurt. I can also touch you whether I'm physically near you or not. By speaking words to your soul, I can make you glad, I can make you sad or angry. Through my words, I can hurt you without ever physically touching your body because the words that I say affect your soul. By taking a quick mental inventory, your body can actually tell you pretty quickly how it feels. You know if you're tired, healthy, or sick, or if the temperature of the shower is just right. And similarly, you can also check your soul to know right away how you are doing in your emotions. It's easy to tell if you're happy, if you're hurt, mentally worn out, or sharp and ready to go, or just upset in general. You'd even be aware if fear or depression came on because you are always in touch with your soul and with your emotions. One thing to note, and one thing that's really important, as we go through this study, the body and the soul components in the Bible are referred to as the flesh. And so, can everyone say it? Just say the flesh. There you go. It kind of rolls off the tongue very nicely there. So, the flesh. That's just referring to, again, your body and your soul. So kind of the last thing that I'm going to talk about, or the last portion that I'll talk about, is the spirit. So our spirit is our deepest being deep inside of you. It actually goes beyond your soul, and it's way down inside of you, and it cannot be accessed in any natural way. And where we get that from is actually from John chapter 3, verse 6 in the New King James Version. I can't remember which page it is. Page 638 in your Bible. So John 3, verse 6. It says, that which is born of the flesh, again, referring to your body and your soul, is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So from this, we can get that there's actually no direct connection between our flesh and our spirit. Everyone following me so far? Kind of confused? Nope. We're good to go? A whole other spiritual realm actually exists outside of our perceived senses. And isn't it actually wonderful to know that according to the Bible, our emotions, feelings, and what we can sense do not fully and actually truly define who we are. And that's the really cool part about all this. Bottom line is that spiritual reality cannot be felt by our flesh because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, referring actually to the Holy Spirit and Jesus, is spirit. The Bible actually isn't saying that the spiritual realm can't touch our soul or our body. It's actually quite the exact opposite. But we'll touch up on that later. So I guess we already got to our next discussion question here. So next question. So again, just kind of talk amongst your groups. So since the Bible teaches us there's no natural connection between our flesh and our spirit, how do you think we access this whole spiritual reality or this whole other spiritual world? All right. So the next passage of scripture that I'm going to give you guys that I believe answers this question, because I actually really wrestled with this when I was just like, oh man, if I can't feel what the Bible is saying to be real, how do I know it's real? So the next verse comes from John chapter 6, verse 63. So I believe that is in page 642 of your Bible. So from my version of the Bible, it says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing, meaning the flesh actually doesn't benefit anything. The words, and pay attention to that, guys, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Understanding that we are not actually defined by our senses, and that we are actually spiritual beings, unlocks the spirit realm so you can experience who you are and what you actually have in Jesus. And this is the really cool part about this all, guys. Since the spirit realm cannot be naturally seen or felt, meaning we can't feel it with our body, we can't feel it with our souls and emotions, the only way to accurately perceive spiritual truth and find out who you are in your spirit is through the Bible. Simply take God's word and believe it. That's really all there is to it. Just read the word of God and believe it, and you'll start to see the spiritual truth come into line and really ignite your spirit, I should say. Next passage comes from James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. You've actually heard me share about a little bit about this during my testimony, and I think this is one of our church's most commonly quoted scriptures. So I'm reading from the New King James Version, but it's in page 735 in your Bible. So again, James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, meaning the Bible, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So God's word is, and what James chapter 1 is telling us, God's word perfectly reflects who you are in the spirit. That's awesome, guys. So when you look at your face in the mirror, just kind of an analogy to bring this together. When you look at your face in the mirror, you really aren't seeing yourself. Rather, you're just viewing a representation or a reflection of yourself. Even though it's only a representation, time after time after time again, and years after years after years of looking at yourself in the mirror, you don't wake up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I don't think that's me. Maybe that's me. Maybe it's someone else. I don't know, right? Maybe I'm Chinese if I were to look at the mirror. No, you say, that's my reflection, for sure. Just like how we have learned to trust our reflection in the mirror over time, we need to learn to trust the word of God as spiritual reality apart from your flesh. Does that make sense, guys? So taking this perspective actually really humbles our heart. It actually makes you it makes me feel really, I guess the best word to describe it is humbled. And it actually sparks a hunger for God's word inside of your spirit. Reading the Bible no longer becomes a chore or something that we as Christians are forced to do. It actually becomes an intimate opportunity for you to see into the spiritual realm and unleash the blessing that Jesus paid for thousands of years ago that God has already placed within your spirit. So the next exercise that I want you guys to go through, so now that you kind of have this understanding of spirit, soul, and body, and I want us to actually read a passage of the Bible. So the passage that I want us to read is in Romans 8, chapters 9 through, that should say 11. That was my bad. That was a typo. So read Romans 8, 9 through 11. Actually, you know what? We'll just read it together as a group here. So no, sorry, I actually don't have your guys' version. I'll read from the NIV versions, but it'll be a little bit different than your guys' Bible. And so while I'm reading this, I want you guys to kind of tune into yourselves, right? Just think a little bit, just try and be aware of what's going on inside of you as I read these words to you, okay? So you don't have to answer all three questions, just try and be aware. Are there any passages in the scripture that jump out at you? Are there any passages in the scripture that you doubt or find hard to believe? Or are there any passages in the scripture that really seem to excite you and get you like, yeah, that's really good? So again, Romans 8, verses 9 through 11. It says, "You, however," and these are the words of Paul, are controlled not by the sinful nature, referring to the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." And so now as a group, I just want you guys to kind of reflect upon those words. You know, take about 5 minutes or so and share. Is there anything that, you know, seemed to stand out from those verses to you or something that you don't understand? And then we'll get back together as a group and talk about it then. All righty. So I hope everybody got an opportunity to, I guess, just reflect on that passage, because that's a really powerful and profound passage in the Bible that is just amazing to read. So let's actually hear from the girls here in the middle here. Are there any passages that jumped out at you, you doubt or find are hard to believe or actually seem to excite you as you read those words? Don't feel like you have to give an answer. I'm just saying, while we were reading those words, was there something that you felt, oh yeah, that's really good? Verse 10. What's it say? That's pretty good, right? It's your spirit is alive because it's actually been made right in the image of God. That's really good stuff there. Let's go to the girls here on the, it'd be your left center, my right center there. Yeah, north side. There we go. That's good. I personally believe that it's reading the Bible, right? When you actually pray to Jesus and you say, God, I want to be saved. I can't do this on my own, and I'm weak, and I need you to save me. A really cool thing actually happens. It isn't your body and your soul that gets saved right away. It's actually your spirit, and there's actually lots of scripture that we'll go through later on, but it's your spirit that gets completely reborn and remade on the inside of you. And the way that God actually relates to you from that perspective is through your spirit, right? So I guess the only way for you to know is to read about yourself in the spirit, right? It's actually, the more and more that I read the Bible, the less and less I realize that God is actually angry at me, isn't angry at me, right? The more I read about his love, the more I read about his grace, and yes, God is a just God, but first and foremost, God wants relationship with you, and he wants to make you see how he views you in the spirit. Does that sort of answer your question there, Faith? Good. Was there anything, though, that jumped out at you while you're reading the passage? Same one? Verse 10? Yeah. Good. Let's go to the guys right here. Anything that jumped out at you that you doubt or find hard to believe? Anything that seemed to excite you while reading this? Verse 11? What does it say there? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool, right? So the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead and the same power that rose Jesus from the dead actually lives inside of you, inside your spirit. That's amazing. Go to the ladies back there. Anything that seems to excite you, that you doubt? Yes. That's awesome, Bella. Hit the nail right on the head. I really like that. That we don't have to be concerned. It's not that we just sin and then go on without it, but we're not controlled and we are not defined by our sinful nature, being the flesh, our body, and our emotions. Lastly, we'll go to my group here. Anything that stood out to you guys or that you find hard, right? That you find hard or don't really understand. Verse 10? Yeah, it seems to kind of seems to be sandwiched right in the middle. I guess I didn't really think this through, and I realized there's five groups and only three passages. You can only pick three passages, right? No, that's good. So the next piece of scripture we won't go into that yet. The reason why I wanted you guys to go through this exercise is John chapter 1 actually says that the word is living because Jesus and the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of his word. And so when you read the Bible and you come across a passage and something jumps out to you and says, wow, that's really good. That's truth. That's not just your emotions. That's not just your consciousness or your will or your mind. That's actually the Holy Spirit talking to your spirit right there. When you feel that, oh yeah, that's good. That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit trying to get you to pay attention to what the Bible and what the word of God is telling you. And so when we fixate our minds on what the Word of God is telling us as opposed to what we are feeling about the Word of God, that changes your complete perspective. Because just a couple of verses earlier in Romans 8, verse 6, it says, the mind, referring to your soul, so the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I guess the big question is, you know, what's the big deal in all this? Basically, your soul is actually being fought over right now. There is a war for your soul and for your emotions. As stated in Romans 8:6, having your mind or your soul controlled by the Spirit releases the flow of God's life in you. When your thoughts are dominated by the word of God, you are spiritually, you're referred to as spiritually minded. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you," and referring to God the Father in that sense. And when your soul agrees with your spirit, God's peace is released into your soul and body. That's pretty cool, eh, guys? Just all I have to do is just align my mind in the way that I think with what the Bible says and what the Word of God is telling me. So on the other hand, peace will not come to your soul, which includes your emotions, consciousness, your mind. It won't come if your mind stays fixated on your problems. Peace is linked to the way you think. A lack of peace isn't because of any circumstance or person. It's just that you simply allowed your mind to be dominated by what you see, what you taste, hear, and smell. And so in other words, it means that you are, I guess, the correct term is carnally minded, which means you're dominated by your flesh or your soul and your body. When your soul agrees with your body, it always leads to death. And this isn't just limited to physical death. It means things like sadness, loneliness, illness, anger, and just overall yucky emotions. And this isn't, I'm not trying to say, you know, you have to be spiritually minded. No, I'm saying this is what God wants for you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you hope. And he wants to give you all these wonderful things of the Spirit. But the way that we do that is by fixing our minds on the Word of God. So kind of the last discussion, another discussion question. What do you think it means then to find identity in your spirit instead of your flesh? And I want you guys to kind of explain your answer. So just take a couple minutes again in your groups just to reflect about this and come up with an answer here. So what do you think it means to find identity in your spirit instead of your flesh? Okay. So I guess we won't be as formal as we were last time, but let's hear some of your answers. Shout them out in order. Hopefully, don't shout over everybody. What do you think it means to find identity in your spirit instead of your flesh? Yeah. So basically, the reason why music is so popular is because it's actually speaking directly to our souls. Right? And so it evokes an emotion inside of us, and something inside of us triggers, and we're actually, it, yeah, exactly. And so, so our soul and what we're feeling in our soul eventually bleeds out into our actions, into our body. And we physically do something, whether we start dancing or, you know, you're kind of sad and you're walking around because of sad music, it bleeds out from your soul into your body. And so just like how your soul can affect your body, just like what Darcy said, your spirit can actually bleed from the inside of you through the word of God and the truth proclaimed in God's word into your soul and into your body, right? So that's actually how you experience things like healing, right, in the Bible. It doesn't come from, you know, just conjuring up God's will and say, oh God, I hope you heal this person. No, it comes from being rooted and grounded in the word of God and believing the word of God over your emotions and saying, regardless of my situation, God's word tells me that I am healed and by his stripes, I am healed right now. So Engineer Caboose, where do our feelings actually come in? The Bible actually doesn't tell us just to deny our feelings, right? That's not the message I want you guys to get. I'm not just saying your feelings don't matter at all. Sometimes the feelings that we get are very real, right? They're sometimes very painful. Sometimes they're awesome, but a lot of times they're pretty yucky as well. Feelings exist for a reason and are actually often an indication that we need to spend time with God and we need to spend time in his word. However, most people, and particularly our culture and the people around us, have gone beyond simply being aware of their feelings to being dominated by them and having their lives controlled by them. And that is something that God never designed our feelings for, because when we're driven purely off of emotion and purely by our souls, the Bible tells us that leads to death, and that leads to yucky things and bad things. So godly feelings will always push you to spend time in God's word and to renew your mind in the spiritual truth contained in the Bible. God's peace and his power is present in you at all times. You just have to figure out how to unleash it. And the way that you unleash God's power in your spirit is by reading his word. So just a couple verses, just to help you guys get a bigger picture of who you are in the spirit. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that whoever is in Christ is a new creation, completely brand new. The old has gone and the new has come. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says that I am crucified with Christ, and it's actually no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. The only way for this scripture to actually be true, since Paul could not literally have been crucified with Jesus, was to have been completely remade and take on the very image of Jesus himself in his spirit. When you read about all the miracles that Jesus performed and the person who Jesus was in the New Testament, you see that he fed 5,000 people. You said that you read that he healed people. Understand that that is actually the image that you carry inside of your spirit. That's profound, guys. That's really cool. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead is inside of me, in my spirit. So kind of a final discussion question here as we wrap everything up. I really want you guys to kind of think about this. Really try and understand this, because this is so foundational to your walk with Jesus. What do you think it looks like when someone finds their identity in, one, their body and their soul, or the flesh, and two, in their spirit? So again, just take a couple minutes, talk about it, and we'll go through it together as a group again. Okay. So I guess we'll start off with the guys here. What do you think it looks like when someone finds identity in their flesh? Yeah. So for the girls back there, Darcy said that if you find identity in your flesh, you'll always feel like there's something missing in your lives. That there, you can't quite explain it, but there's always something missing. That's good. I like that, Darcy. It's really good. Girls, what do you think it looks like when someone finds identity in their flesh? Yeah, that's good, right? It's dynamic all the time, I would say. It's changing all the time. Exactly. It's given to you by God as well, right? It's what God says it is, not what you feel that it is in that sense. Girls in the middle there, what do you think it looks like when someone finds identity in their flesh? If you want to answer the spirit one, you can answer that as well. Yeah, that's good, because the word of God never changes. And if your identity is in the spirit, is found in the word of God, then it never changes. That's good. Really like that. Girls back there. Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's kind of like a false identity in that sense, where it's just like, oh man, you spend so much time trying to pursue the flesh when you forget entirely the spirit and the fact that's good. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. Guys, don't embarrass me here. No, just kidding. No, seriously, I really want to hear what you guys have to say about this. So what do you think it looks like when someone finds identity? Whoa. What'd you do there, Chris? Absolutely. So I guess the third question that I didn't know about. So why do we struggle with our true identity if we know that these things are true? Yeah, why do we doubt that our spirit is our true identity? That's a good question. Absolutely, and it's comforting, right? It's something that we know, right? Because we can see our body and we can feel our soul, but we can't see or perceive the spiritual realm. So it's actually a lot easier for us to just go to what we know, right? Sorry, did I answer the question for some people? I apologize for that if I did. Sorry, I was asking you guys. Anybody else want to add anything to this? Yeah, right. And I think it just comes with time as well. The more time that you spend with God and the more that you realize how much God loves you and what he's given you in the spirit, I think eventually it gets a lot easier. Just like how you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't doubt that's what you look like. When you look at the word of God and you read it enough times, You don't doubt that that's who you are in the Spirit, right? That's awesome. Thanks, guys, for sharing and engaging with this. But luckily, we have the Bible to actually tell us, you know, what happens when we find our identity in these things. So the passage that I want you guys to kind of read through at the end is Galatians 5, 16 through 25, but we'll kind of jump around in the verses. It's page 703 in your Bibles. So if you guys want to turn to page 703, this is a very, very famous, famously quoted piece of scripture. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. So Galatians 5:16, I'm reading from the NIV version, so it'll be a little bit different than yours. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." Jumping to verse 19 now, it says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, and so on and so forth." I think you guys get the picture here. But, and this is the really good news, we all have this in our spirits right now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature, meaning our body and our emotions and all these yucky things. We have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I just want to pray for you guys. I really believe that that God is trying to speak to your hearts right now. And so I ask that we just take this time and we just listen to what God is trying to tell us right now. And, you know, this isn't anything weird. We're not going to do some crazy chant or something like that. All we're doing is we're just going to be quiet for a little bit, and then I'm going to pray, okay? So let's just take our hats off and just hold your hands open and just say, God, I want to hear from you. So we'll only, you know, be quiet for about, you know, 10-15 seconds or so. But if something comes to your heart, remember that and go to God with that later. So let's just try and listen to God right now. Father, I just want to thank you for these kids. Thank you so much that you love them so much. Thank you so much that we get this opportunity to build into their lives. Thank you that you give us your word. You give us your true, faithful word that we can read and that we can find identity in, Lord. God, I pray that as these kids go out and about in their weeks, that they wouldn't forget what it is that you say about them, that they wouldn't forget that your word tells them that they are precious and that you live inside of them and that you want what's best for them, Lord. I pray that these kids would grow to have a hunger for you and for your word, and that the seeds sown tonight would grow into something fruitful throughout their entire lives, Lord. Bless these kids and give them a great week and keep all of them safe, Lord. In your precious and holy name, I pray all these things. Amen. If you guys, you know, if something in this teaching, you know, didn't really make sense to you tonight, find me afterwards or find one of the leaders afterwards. We're always open to, you know, to helping you unpack all these things. And, you know, if we don't know all the answers, you can guarantee that we're at least going to sit down, we're going to pray with you, and we're going to seek God for answers in this. I guess that's all there is for tonight. I expect, yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys, for listening.